From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. During World War II, more than 13,000 Japanese Americans were held at Minidoka in the eastern Idaho desert, and more than 120,000 were taken from their homes by the U.S. government. Now, while their parents were in camps like Minidoka, some young men volunteered to serve, and they were placed in a special Japanese American Army unit, which fought in places like Germany and Italy and France. This chapter of American history was the basis for the book Facing the Mountain by author Daniel James Brown. You may know Brown. His book, The Boys in the Boat, was made into a movie just last year by George Clooney. And next Wednesday, the Idaho Center for the Book and the Friends of Minidoka will sit down to talk about Facing the Mountain, and they're inviting everyone to join in. So with us now are Gwen Hervishon, librarian for Albertson's Library and coordinator for the Idaho Center for the Book, along with Camille Daw, Program and Outreach Manager with Friends of Minidoka, and David Walker, Associate Professor with the History Department at Boise State University. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you, Gemma.
So, Gwen, I just want to start with you really quickly. What is the Idaho Center for the Book?
The Idaho Center for the Book is Idaho's affiliate of the Library of Congress Center for the Book. So there are state affiliates in all 50 states and Washington, D.C., and we all are charged with carrying out the mission of the Center for the Book at the local level, which is really just to support and encourage all things related to book, reading books, literacy, writing books, making and collecting books.
And Gwen, give us a quick plot for Facing the Mountain.
Well, Facing the Mountain follows the story of four Nisei, meaning second generation Japanese American young men, three of whom volunteered for the 442nd Regimental Combat Team that you referenced earlier, and one of whom was a patriotic resistor, and he resisted signing up for the 442nd, as well as he resisted the incarceration that was being imposed on him and his family unjustly, unconstitutionally, based purely on where they were born and being of Japanese descent.
So the book was really drawn from real history of World War II. So David, can you tell us a little bit about the Japanese American Army unit that's in the book?
The 442nd Regiment, and as well as sort of an independent 100th Battalion, they were raised during the war because the United States needed the manpower. And they looked to the camps and they had, so they found out willing volunteers to fight. And of course, it turned out that they fought very, very well and were sought after in the field by the generals and in undergoing certain missions and were just very successful. It's one of the highest decorated units in the U.S. military in World War II.
And David, what kind of action did the Army unit see?
So they fought primarily, or at least in the beginning, in Italy. So the 100th Battalion, which was raised from men who had been in the army prior to Pearl Harbor in the main. And then the 442nd, the other battalions were raised from primarily the war relocation camps and other volunteers. So the 100th Battalion saw action in the early part of the invasion of Italy in 1943. And then the 442nd Regiment was brought in to Anzio, which was a tough place to be in 1944. And so they fought basically up the western coast of Italy and then were transferred over to the south of France and took part in the invasion of southern France and on into Germany and were brought back to Italy. So they had an extensive experience in combat.
And Camille, let me bring you into the conversation. What is your involvement with Friends of Minidoka? And tell us a little bit about the mission.
Yeah, so Friends of Minidoka is the nonprofit philanthropic partner for Minidoka National Historic Site. It is a National Park Service unit located in Jerome County, Idaho, so in southeastern Idaho. And our mission is to essentially help preserve that site through fundraising efforts, along with physical preservation at the site, along with education and outreach. Friends of Minidoka wanted to partner with the Idaho Center for the Book, specifically on this community read, is because we feel as if talking about this story really helps preserve that legacy.
And Camille, why is it so important to make sure that we preserve this history? I mean, in particular, in a book like this that tells these stories.
for so long it's not been discussed. And I think that we do see a lot of parallels in our society today. And so when we forget, we often repeat those incidents. And if we don't repeat them, there are very distinct parallels. And so I think being able to look towards the past as a, you know, way to look towards a better future is really important. Along with that, I do think that there are still a lot of very hurt feelings, to be honest, within the Japanese American community today about what happened in 1942 and moving onwards, quite honestly. And so I think for a lot of people, being able to remember also offers healing, and it offers hope that together as a society, we can heal from this experience by learning about it.
Mm-hmm. And Gwen, before we wrap up, the book discussion is set for February 7th. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what folks should expect with the discussion and where it will be taking place?
Absolutely. Well, part of the inspiration for organizing this community read and why I immediately reached out to Camille and Friends of Minidoka to partner with us on this event was because it's being held in conjunction with an exhibition that is currently on display here at Albertson's Library. And the exhibit is called The Go for Broke Spirit, Portraits of Legacy by Shane Sato. And Shane is an LA-based photographer, and this exhibit consists of 25 large portrait photographs that are part of a larger project that Shane began back in 1999 when he started shooting portraits of World War II veterans from the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. So I was struck as we were preparing for that exhibition, how this book that is very timely was just published a couple of years ago by a very popular author, New York Times bestselling Daniel James Brown, and how that book and this exhibition could really complement and inform one another so well. I'm really happy that we can have this conversation with the exhibition as a really meaningful backdrop. We see these veterans who are photographed in their 80s and 90s wearing their World War II uniforms. And the photographer, Shane Sato, said that he really wanted to have that be the focus of the photographs and have their individual personalities come out while sort of looking into the past by having them wear their uniforms. And I think that comes through so beautifully. And I think that will really inform the conversation in connection with the book. And so I'm really happy to bring all that together, have those subject experts there, but have everybody who may have already read the book or read the book as, you know, part of knowing about this exhibit and the upcoming event. And even those, I want to stress, who haven't read the book yet are more than welcome to join this conversation. You are saying, preserving this information and continuing to talk about it so we don't forget. This is a way to remember and to continue the conversation, and all rooted in a book, Common Read Among Us.
Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in today and talking with us about this. The discussion is set for February 7th at Boise State. We'll put links to the event and to our conversation with Shane Sato back in November on our website, boisestatepublicradio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, we're taking center stage. Introducing NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of Black-led stories from NPR's podcasts. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.